Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this evening from the scripture part that we have been reading from Psalm 68 on this day of Ascension, of the Ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I read one verse, especially as text verse for the sermon, Psalm 68, verse 18, where we read as follows: Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. The theme for the sermon tonight is the triumph of Christ. 3 points of attention. The first point, ascended on high. The second point, captivity captive, and the third point, gifts for men. So the theme is the triumph of Christ. 3 points, ascended on high, captivity captive, and gifts for men. Congregation, it was an amazing and wonderful day. I didn't see it with my own eyes, but I've seen the pictures of that day. I was not yet born, but I've heard about that day. That day when there came freedom in the Netherlands. After the oppression of more or less 5 years by Germany in the Second World War. It's such a terror, such a fear. Such a time of darkness, like going through a dark night. And then there was the morning. And if you see those pictures of the Allied armies entering a city, a town, a village, and people standing there crowded in the streets, all joy, all gladness, shouting. Everything was full of exceeding joy. There was the triumph, the victory over the enemy. If you think about what happened when the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven, ascended from the earth, was lifted up before the eyes of his disciples, and the cloud took him away from their eyes. But then if you imagine what happened afterwards, how he physically entered heaven, that glorious place where God is in a special way present, where the multitudes of angels are, where the saved souls are in glory and joy. And what a mighty moment when this King of Glory entered heaven. What an exceeding joy for the angels, for the saved souls, for the Lord Jesus Christ himself, to be received there, to be welcome after he accomplished everything. He could say he went home. He left the house of his father. He came down to, you could say, the territory of the enemy on earth. He was here not at home, although he is the creator of all things. We made the devil the prince of this world. So he was here those 33 years, like someone who is a pilgrim, someone who is not at home, in a dark place. And then he suffered and died upon the cross. But he resurrected from the grave, and he ascended to heaven, and then he came home and was received there. As if the Father would say, oh, my son, come in. It's enough. Everything is accomplished that had to be done to save the church, to save all that have believed or will believe in Christ. He came home to sit in the throne as the King of glory. And it is true what he has said. Unto me is given all power in heaven and on earth. What a joy in heaven. What a joy in the heart of a believer when we see these things with eyes of faith. What a joy there was also in the hearts of the disciples. It was not that they thought, oh, we are left alone. But we read in Luke 24, verse 52, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. So he ascended while he was blessing them. You could say that circle of blessing was over them. While he was lifted up, that circle, you could say, became bigger and bigger to bless this world by the proclamation of this gospel that he accomplished everything. This is a thing that was foretold by the Lord Jesus to Mary after he resurrected, John 20. Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But this is a thing that is also already prophesied in the Old Testament. And we read Psalm 68, where we read, Thou hast ascended on high. This is what David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is speaking. Well, this psalm is written, it fits perfectly to that situation that David brought the Ark of the Lord to Jerusalem. And that ark was ascending to that hill Zion to be there as a sign of the presence of the Lord among his people. And that was such an exceeding joy for David that this happened, that God now in this sign was seen to dwell in the midst of his people in Jerusalem. Thou hast ascended on high. So those words apply to that thing that happened, that the ark was brought up to the Mount Zion. But at the same time, we see a mighty illustration, a prophecy of what would happen to Christ, that he ascended on high, and that he in that way would show his glory, his power, his victory, his triumph over every enemy. So there was joy in the heart of David. If you remember for a while what happened before this, how he tried to bring the ark to Jerusalem, and then how he did it in the wrong way, putting it on a wagon, and then many people died. Oh, what a grief! What a grief! It showed the holiness of God. It showed his wrath over sin. And in that, in the light of that dark and deep situation, this is so much more delighting, a delight for the heart of David. Oh, now here, God is showing his favor, his grace, his mercy, that he, the holy God, is willing to live in the midst of his people. David didn't know how to do it anymore. He was afraid. God is so holy. How can we ever bring this ark here in Jerusalem? So many people died because he is a holy God. And we are sinful people. Oh, how can we do this? And now here it happens. I read in one of the books of Melanchthon, he says, you know, whole scripture is either law or gospel. Even in the histories. So there in that, what happened before, there was the law. There was the wrath of God that made people tremble. And here we see the gospel. How God in his grace is willing to live in the midst of a sinful people. Here is the gospel, and the heart of David is full of joy. Oh, wasn't there not the law of God when Christ was hanging upon the cross? There was the wrath because of sin and the holy demands of the law of God. Then he resurrected and he ascended, and God's showing his gospel that there is a way of salvation out of the wrath. And so scripture is full of that. It starts in paradise. Adam was trembling, and Eve, when they had sinned, and the Lord came and showed them their sins. And then he gave the gospel, his promise, that the seed of the woman would bruise the seed of the serpent. Oh, if you think about the distress in the heart of Adam and Eve, how could they ever be saved out of such misery? And then God spoke that he would give a way, and he did it. Do you understand that? At one side, that distress, you feel, oh, how can God be my God? How can he show favor and grace to me? And at the other side, that God showed you that he made a way, and that Christ is in heaven now, and that he is making intercession, like we read from the Confession of Faith, that he is that praying high priest, and that God is lifting that burden from your heart and soul, and giving you that exceeding joy that David had. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. That God is showing his mercy, his grace, his salvation in the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, like opening heaven as the first one entering there by his own work, so that his whole church could enter there. So now it's like we read in a letter to the Hebrews, that by faith there's a way to look into that sanctuary of God and to see that God is reconciled by Christ. Thou hast ascended on high. Yeah, David is writing this psalm that fits to that situation, that the ark was brought to Jerusalem. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. So we see that there's a desire burning in the heart of David that God will receive the glory. And he's praying that the enemies will be scattered. Not his enemies, but God's enemies. So that's allowed. And you understand that prayer. That you have a desire that the dishonoring of the name of the Lord will stop. And yeah, you could say, the enemies of the Lord are my enemies in a certain way. That is true. But it is about the honor and the glory of God. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. That's the desire of David, that God will be honored and praised by everybody. Well, yeah, we pray that all enmity will stop. And there are two ways that can happen. That God, by His grace, will incline hearts of those that hate the Lord, like we all do by nature. Or, oh, you tremble about that, that God will overcome them by His might. Oh, let it be His grace. But how it might be, let it stop the dishonoring of the Lord. So it's allowed to pray against the enmity that we see in this world against the Lord. It hurts us if we love the Lord, like it hurts when you love your parents and they are dishonored. And let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Let us pray for those that love the Lord, that they will be encouraged and be strengthened. And what a source of encouragement we have in this wonderful thing that happened, that Christ ascended to heaven. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. What does it mean? You can think about a situation that was regularly seen in the time of the Bible, when there was a king that would go to fight a war. There was an enemy, a powerful enemy, that had oppressed the people. The people know the fear about that enemy, know the terror of that enemy, and there the king is going to fight that enemy. And when that king is conquering the enemy, then there's a certain day that a king is returning, like it happened many times to David. Well, he was not yet king. Well, he was fighting the Philistines. Then he would come back and they would sing about that victory that he had. So the king is returning and the people that stayed at home see the king coming back in his chariot, in glory. And you know what happened in those days? They would bind the enemy behind the chariot, so that enemy that was such a terror for the people, that they were so afraid of, that they had suffered of so much, that enemy was brought by the king in his victory, bound behind his chariot. And then the people standing there in the streets, the crowded streets, they could see the king. And they could see that that enemy was powerless, conquered, and that they had nothing to fear anymore of that terrible enemy that oppressed them and that made them to suffer so much, because they could see that that enemy is a captive now. Well, isn't that what happened when Christ ascended to heaven? Thou has led captivity captive. So that king that kept the people like in captivity, that king himself is captive now. So what does captivity mean when we think about the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is for the people of God like a prison in this life? What do you experience that is binding you by nature and even tries to bind you after receiving grace? That you by faith have to see that Christ has conquered that king, that enemy that kept you in captivity. What is it? What is it that is ruling our lives, giving us fear, terror, and taking our freedom by nature? What is it? Tell me. Well, we all know, don't we? There are several things that we can think about. What is binding us in this life? Is it not death? That we all have that deep fear. And people might say, no, I don't have it. They might be so blind. They might be so hardened that they have pushed that away. They don't think about it. They just live for this life. And then even then it can happen that all of a sudden they see they have to die. And the fear can fill their hearts because they don't have a hiding place. They don't know a helper. So death is keeping us like in captivity, like in a prison. I remember when I was young, a boy, that I thought, oh, if I only knew that I would not have to die, then I could enjoy life. Oh, I know I have to die. And I know to die means to stand before the judgment seat of God. I cannot. And fear would fill my heart. Oh, I have to be saved. But how? Then I found Christ. And then I experienced that captivity is led captive by Him. And that sharpness of death, that terror of death is taken away. Oh yeah, it's still the last enemy, which can frighten in a certain way like a shadow falling over us and cannot really hurt us anymore if we know Christ. Thou hast led captivity captive. What a freedom. I thought when I was a young boy or teenager, I thought if I only knew that I don't have to die. And now I know. I know that death is for me because of Christ, like a gate to eternal life in full experience to see Christ. And there's such a strong proof. In His ascension, He is in heaven. He the head of the church. So the body will follow. Certainly. What else is keeping us like in a prison? Taking freedom from our heart, keeping it away from us, so that we are in a situation of distress and not have real joy. Isn't it sin? That terrible enemy that keeps us in captivity, like in a prison. And we cannot break those bars. We cannot open that iron door of sin, of depravity of my heart. I sin. And oh, we cannot fight that enemy. No, someone who is much stronger than I am has to do it. And He did. Christ did. He overcame sin. He has broken the power of sin when He came on earth, died upon the cross, resurrected, ascended to heaven. He led captivity captive. Oh, do you see it by faith? When you experience sin in your heart and don't know how to fight it, how to overcome it, and that you seek that strength of Christ, seek to see Him, like the people were standing in the streets and saw that king that they feared, bound behind the chariot of their king. And oh, what a joy! The fear was gone. They had nothing to fear anymore, because this king is in prison himself. So that happened to sin, that happened to death, that happened to the devil. And all his helpers, to all the devils, Christ overcame them. And they are powerless. They cannot do any real harm to the children of God, those that know Christ by living faith. And in that way belong to Him. They experience by faith that security, that peace that is see captivity is led captive. When Christ is ascending to heaven, like in his chariot of glory, he has bound the enemies behind it, and they cannot do anything which he will not allow. And the things he allows to happen in my life, in your life, child of God, those things have to work for good. Thou hast led captivity captive. There is the freedom for the children of God. He overcame all those enemies. Let us sing, before we continue, let us sing Psalter 60, stanza 1 till 5. 60, stanza 1, to thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose, my God. Oh, put me not to shame before triumphant foes. Psalter 60, stanza 1 till 5. Congregation, is there someone here that has a thought in his or her heart that it is impossible to be free out of that prison that you are in? Do you think, well, yeah, it might be possible for others. How can I ever come out of this misery? Oh, sin is so strong in my life. It's an addiction. It's slavery. I cannot see that this is possible. Might be that there's a child who's even thinking that. Can I be converted? Can I receive an obedient heart? Sure. It is so sure. As certain as it is that Christ ascended on high, that he is now there in heaven. Oh, he is such a mighty Savior. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. There's such a might in his grace to make you free, to deliver you from captivity, out of the prison of unbelief, out of the prison of sin, of seeking yourself, which, again, I read today from Melanchthon, is the worst of sinfulness in our hearts, that we always seek ourselves. What a prison it is, that self inside. God in Christ is changing it, making you free by the might, the power of grace, that you will see that God changed what you couldn't change, that he led captivity captive, so that you receive freedom in your heart by faith, by Christ, that you rejoice in him. It could be that there's a young person that thinks, well, yeah, I hear all those things. But to be honest, I like the things in the world more than the things of the church. Is that what you sometimes think, children? I could think that when I was young. I can understand if you have that thought. Well, let me talk to you for a while. You know, it says here, why leap ye high hills? You could say, why are the high hills proud? A high hill like Bashan, compared to Zion, was much more beautiful and high and fertile. Things grew there that were delicious, nice to see that high hill. But David says, no, Zion is much better. So, and that is what I want to say. The church, the service of the Lord, is much better than everything in the world. And we don't see it. We don't believe it by nature. We are so carnal. We are so inclined, so ready to think that is not true. Because we like the immediate pleasure for a moment. We find it hard to seek so that we would receive the eternal, spiritual, lasting joy from heaven. David saw it. He saw that Zion is much better than Bashan. That beautiful hill, where delicious things were growing. And then Zion, that smaller hill. There's the ark of the Lord. There's the beauty of the favor, the grace of God. For sinners, by the atonement of the blood. Oh, if we see what Christ has done, if we know that power of his work in our hearts, lifting us up out of the misery, the mud of sin and unbelief and the darkness of living without God, then we see that's true. And if you have to say, well, but I do not see it, well, then I ask you, I beseech you that you listen to my words. I say it is true. service of God is unspeakable better than every joy of sin. I know it for sure. It's according to the word, and I experience it. It cannot attract me like it did before. It attracts my flesh, my old nature. But oh, I wouldn't exchange the things of the Lord for anything in the world. I don't want to live anymore without, it's not perfect yet, but that peace of knowing God. And if you say, I do not experience it yet, is that true? And then I say, it is certainly true. And I preach you, when you will seek it, you will find it, and you will experience it, children. If you continue to seek the Lord, you will know Christ. And you will say, it is right what David said. This is much better. I love it much more. There will be a moment in your life that you say, oh, I found everything in the Lord Jesus. He is so precious for my heart. So tell me, can you say that? I would like to ask it one by one. Can you say, Christ is precious for me? Can you say that? Otherwise, if you cannot say that, that he is most precious for you, what is your religion worth? Oh, humble yourself before the Lord and confess it. Oh, Lord, something seriously wrong in my life. I'm not at the right spot. Off, I'm still living with an unchanged heart. If you cannot say, through all the questions that you might have, all the attacks, all the doubts that could come up, if you cannot say sincerely from your heart, Christ is most precious for me. Is that true for you? He is most beautiful for me. Thou hast received gifts. There's so much to be received from this Savior. Gifts for man. So what does that mean? The gifts that the Lord Jesus has to share, to give to you. If a king would come from the war, he could do what David did after the ark was brought to Zion. He gave bread and meat and wine to the people. So that's what a king usually would do. He would bring the spoil of the land that was conquered and share it with the people. And there would be an abundance of joy, exceeding joy in the hearts of the people. They would eat and drink and rejoice in the king, in the victory, in the deliverance that they had received. Well, that is what David is speaking about. And that is true of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has gifts. Yeah, the enemies are in prison now. They cannot do what they want anymore. And there are such an abundance of gifts that Christ is giving to his church. He is sending, he did pour out his Spirit, and sending this Spirit in the hearts of people to convince them of their sin, but also of his grace, so that they will flee to him. And that Spirit will dwell in the heart to keep them till the very end. He's taking care of salvation by his might, by his Spirit. There is the gift of peace with God. The war is over. But there's peace now. There's the gift of forgiveness, remission of sin, that burden taken away. There's the gift of renewal of your life, so that you will experience, oh yes, the power of sin is broken. Although I stumble, and I'm sad about that, at the same time there's joy in my heart, because I'm no more a willing slave of sin, but I am a willing servant of the Lord Jesus. He has broken that power. What a gift it is. what a gift he is giving to his stewards for man. He is giving the gift of prayer, supplication. There might be an older person here that says, oh, my strength is fainting. And sometimes I feel depressed. What is the use of life for me? It might be that God, in a special way, has given you the gift of supplication. Bound on your heart, the need of the church and our nation, your children, your grandchildren, the young people in church, the ministry, and whatever. That you pray all those hours. You lift up your heart for a blessing for the church, for the extension of the kingdom of God. And God is blessing you in that. What a gift that you have the time. And that God is inclining your heart. What a gift for man. Oh, how many gifts the Lord is giving. That we can be together here. That we have the words. That we can sing psalters. That there is the music to help us in that. God is giving the gifts and the talents. Oh, what a gift the Lord has given to his church. But what is the most precious gift? Do you know that, children? What is the most precious gift that the Lord is giving to his church? Yea, for the rebellious also. Maybe there's someone here who says, yeah, but my heart is cold. My heart is hard. Oh, I'm unwilling many times. And I feel upset about what the Lord is doing and about what people do. And I cannot agree with what is happening in my life. Yeah. What a gift it is. And God is giving you a heart united to his will and humility so that you will submit to the Lord, to the word, and that peace is filling your heart. Yeah, it is not that God says, okay, if you make your heart obedient, then you can get gifts. No, no, it is for those that are rebels, and we all are by nature. And what is the most precious gift? That the Lord might dwell among them. He himself is the most precious gift, that he is dwelling in your heart, to be with Christ, that is heaven of heaven, and that he now by his Spirit is dwelling in my heart. It's the most precious thing. Whatever the Lord might take away, O Lord, take not thy Spirit away, so that his Spirit continually will throw light upon this Savior, that I see him and know him more, that the Lord God might dwell among them. This most precious thing, God with us. That is what Christ made possible. That is the fruit of his coming down to accomplish what had to be done and his ascension to heaven, so that God might dwell among us. In the Old Testament, there was the ark in the midst of the people, the cover of atonement, the blood. And now there's the word, and it's showing Christ, and it's showing his blood and his atonement, so that I receive that peace with God and experience that God is reconciled with me. You experience that, you know that, and that he is dwelling inside. This is the most precious gift. Then you are never alone. It's a blessing to have company of people. It's a blessing to experience the fellowship, the communion of the saints. But the deepest thing is that God will never forsake those that Christ has purchased with his blood, and that he has drawn and called by his Spirit and his Word, and in their hearts he is dwelling, and he will never, no, never forsake them. He's keeping them in his mighty hand. That pierced hand, those pierced hands, they are secure. Oh, he told his disciples, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, ye may be also. So now he's dwelling by his Spirit in my heart. That's not yet perfect and complete, but it is true and reality. But there is a mansion in heaven that it will be perfect to dwell with him, that he will dwell for eternity among his people, that God will be all in all for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we thank thee for those precious gifts. What a gift it is if we have a willing heart to serve, maybe in the most humble things, to serve thee. O Lord, in thy church, what a gift it is. We see, O Lord, what a privilege it is if our heart is inclined to follow the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, bless thy word and work in all hearts, that we, O Lord, might be given, that we lift up our hearts to this Savior, the Lord Jesus, that we remember daily that he now is in heaven as the King of Kings, and that he has put our enemies in prison, and that there's abundance of gifts that he can supply and does supply all our needs, O Lord, in all our needs, that he is providing day by day, and that he will never stop that he will never forsake his church. Lord, we are not faithful like we should be, but thou art faithful. That's our only hope. Oh, that we will experience that Christ is lifted up in our hearts more and more, so that that blessing will be received that he gave to his disciples and is giving to his church. We thank thee for thy word, O Lord. Protect us when we go home and in this night, and that thy word will go with us, that we will meditate upon it, and that we will find this Savior in it, day by day, more and more, deeper and deeper. We pray, O Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.